When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." Jesus said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" Most families can relate stories of the time when they left a child or almost left a child somewhere. I have talked with many mothers who have either left a child behind in a washroom, car park, or shopping center, or have come close to doing so. As we reflect upon these incidents, we may laugh or smile, but in an uneasy manner. Nevertheless, those of you who are parents hardly need me to say that family life is never without its tensions, conflicts, and ambiguities. Someone once said that the best two gifts parents can give their children are roots, R-O-O-T-S, and wings. Roots and wings. Parents try to give the roots to their children so that they will know right from wrong, so that no matter where they go in life, they will be able to look back and remember all that their parents taught them, gave them, and did for them. The wings. That is the other really important gift which parents can give the children, so that they can fly away, figuratively speaking, so that they can make a life of their own, so that they may become independent. And of these two gifts, roots and wings, wings seem to be the more difficult gift to give. Of course, parents want their children to grow up, or so they say, but do they really mean it? Ask the young mother who has just dropped off her child on the first day at the preschool. You know what the answer is. Ask the nervous parents who watch their teenager with his or her new driver's license drive off in his or her dad's car alone for the first time. Ask the family whose daughter or son moves away to a college or university for the first year. So yes, parents do want their children to grow up, but according to the parents' timetable, not that of their children. That is the most difficult or challenging part of it all, because children are experts at exerting their independence long before their parents want them to. I am sure you can relate to this if you have ever tried to secure a toddler in a car seat against his or her will, or tried to zip up his or her snow suit. It is not only challenging to be a parent of a toddler, a 7-year-old, and yes, a 12-year-old, as Mary and Joseph experienced with Jesus. But wait. Some of you all of you may be wondering, where Father Cyril is going with all this reference to the upbringing of children. What does this have to do with the service and so on? Well, let me put your thoughts at rest. We are standing at the gate of the church's new year, and as we make ready to begin our pilgrimage anew, today's readings reveal a powerful message of growth and encouragement. Today's readings reveal a powerful message of growth and encouragement along the challenging pilgrimage of life. These scripture lessons provide an insight into how one can live a faithful life as a Christian in the midst of tensions, conflicts, ambiguities in our contemporary society. Luke, the pastoral historian, guides us into the childhood narrative of Jesus, the Son of God. Luke invites us first into the arena of human fear and anxiety, a realm with which we are familiar. The story begins, you recall, with a religious affirmation. Every year, writes Luke, every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. Undoubtedly, they taught Jesus, their son, the great story of the Exodus, how God delivered the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt. So every year they made their religious pilgrimage to Jerusalem. However, Jesus' mother, Mary and Joseph, had developed an on guard mentality. For ever since the birth of Jesus, certain persons had been out to take the life of this child, Jesus. And this was a special year for young Jesus because as a 12-year-old, he had reached the age when, according to Jewish tradition, he became a man. That, it seems, is the heart of the problem. On the way home from Jerusalem to Nazareth, this 12-year-old boy or man stayed behind. Not only that, he failed to tell his parents what he was up to. As a result, they traveled a whole day before they realized he was not part of the large caravan of pilgrims making their way home. When they realized their son, Jesus, was missing on the on guard mentality to which I referred to earlier, this alertness was then fused with parental fear and concern. Anxiety and panic gripped them as they rushed back to Jerusalem. Frustration filled them as they searched for him throughout the city. When they found him at last in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions, he was spreading his wings, metaphorically speaking. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. However, Mary and Joseph were not amazed at his ability, but were astonished at where he was. "Child," says Mary, forgetting that her 12-year-old was now a young man, "child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." Jesus, in his desire to soften their anxiety and panic, responds. He said, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" If this rings in the ears of modern parents, especially those of teenagers, as a reproach, it is not the reproach of a child or a man wanting his independence, but of an anointed one already confident of his calling. At the time of a principal developmental period in his life, age 12, Jesus made a choice that affirmed the primary importance of the reality of the presence of God. Jesus was a child, like Samuel and like us. He had to struggle with parental misunderstanding and make choices about his place in family, in faith community, and the world. When he is reminded of his filial duty to his parents, he affirms that he must be about the business of his heavenly Father. each challenge, whether it is developmental or situational, truly becomes an invitation to a deeper understanding of and participation in the unfolding of the love of God. Perhaps Jesus was surprised that his parents had come to know him so little. Yet the same questions gnaw Christians today. Do we know Jesus? So little that we continue searching for him and quietly questioning, when he is right here in our midst, in front of us and around us, exactly where he promised he would be. Remember, he said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there among them." This is firm reality. This is home place for Jesus. And as God's adopted children, this is a home place for us all. Our spiritual discipline is to receive the words of Jesus inviting us to enter the kingdom of God as little children. We are invited to come not as anxious seekers, although that is sometimes how we come, but as little children returning home, being greeted and welcomed as we arrive. Here we are listened to as we bring our questions, our thoughts, our needs. We are also invited to listen, to be receptive to what God is saying to us, and to settle into the love and rest of God's embrace and presence. Even as we begin our pilgrimage anew, we are invited home. This homecoming will engage our attention throughout the year. As St. Paul said in the Colossians text, which was read earlier, Christians are aware that each person is God's chosen. We must pursue our pilgrimage with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. For the journey is filled with conflicts and obstacles. Yet, if we acknowledge God's presence with us on the journey of life, we will be strengthened and nourished, especially if we place ourselves in the gathered context of the community of believers, where God's word is proclaimed and studied, and the statements and the sacraments are received. Let us pray. God of all grace, who didst in the fullness of time send Jesus Christ, thy Son, to be born of a woman, that he might redeem the sons of men and make them the sons of God, accept our endless praise for this thy mercy, and grant that the Spirit of thy Son may so dwell in our hearts that we may evermore serve and worship thee with the freedom of thy children through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I have spoken to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.